Ephesus Baptist Church, as we say each Sunday, it's God's house, the house he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. Last Sunday in our message, we talked about or reviewed five characteristics or traits or distinguishing features of a Christian. And one of those was the Holy Spirit dwells within Christians. In other words, the Spirit of God is the miracle within us. And I want today to expand on our study regarding the Holy Spirit and its effect on the lives of Christians. And our text comes from Luke, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to begin with the 15th verse through the 22nd to give us a little background before we reach the part dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I invite you to follow along as I read Luke 3:15 through 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, one night, Karen Church saw Joey standing over Tripp's crib. And as she watched him looking down at that very first child, she saw on his face a mixture of emotions: disbelief, delight, amazement, skepticism, and enchantment. And Karen was so touched by this unusual display by Joey, it evoked deep emotions within her watching him. And with her eyes tearing, she put her arm around his waist and said, "A penny for your thoughts." "It's amazing," Joey replied. "It's just amazing. I cannot understand how anyone can make and sell a crib like this for $99.95. Now, of course, that's not true. I told Joey I was going to use him as an example today. But ladies, isn't that such a statement that a man would make? In the crib lies one of God's most precious creations, that of a child, and yet the crib was the only thing the father saw. He did not see what lay within. However, he is not unique, this husband. Often people view God's handiwork and see only the outside manifestations. They never see the miracle that lies within. Whether it's the miracle of birth or the miracle of the birth of a new Christian, there are many who see only the outside framework. they miss that miracle that lies within. God's word tells us something very exceptional lies within a new Christian. In Acts 2:38, Dr. Luke states, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If we become a follower of Christ, if we become a Christian, as we discussed last Sunday, we shall possess the miracle within, the Holy Spirit within our very being. In fact, in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we are told that God's Holy Spirit is a mark of God's ownership of us. Hear Paul's words, "Having believed in the gospel of salvation, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." What a tremendous blessing. From our text we just read that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus himself as he was baptized and came out of the water. There are those who believe that the Holy Spirit is an inanimate object of some type, much like the crib which held the baby that we referred to. They see only the crib, but not the miracle that lies within. These people accept the idea that God's Holy Spirit can be within us, but they don't think it really does much for us as followers of God. Thus, they miss out on the miracle of the Holy Spirit, what it can mean and give to each and every one of us as God's children. Jesus clearly states the importance of the Holy Spirit to each believer. Hear our Lord's words to us. "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor," and he means the Holy Spirit there, "unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness." Jesus is saying, although I'm leaving you, I am sending back the Holy Spirit in my place to be my power within you. And the Holy Spirit, that miracle within each and every Christian, helps Christians in many ways. He helps us to understand the truth of God's Word. He helps us with our prayers when we commune with God. He guides us and teaches us according to God's commands in order to guide us during our day-to-day living. And He empowers us for ministry with spiritual and supernatural gifts. But perhaps the most intriguing task that the Holy Spirit was sent to accomplish is implied in Acts 1:8, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want you to note in this passage that it states that first Jesus' followers would receive the Holy Spirit, and then they would be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit came first, and then the witnessing on the part of those who were Christ followers. Now, many of the disciples, as we know, had followed Jesus through his public ministry. From the time he began and picked the disciples, those first ones there were there to the very end, when in fact he was crucified. before his resurrection. And the implication of Acts 1:8 is that they became witnesses after they received the Holy Spirit. After Jesus was gone. But why would they have to wait? Why not just begin witnessing immediately when they believed in Jesus as the Son of God? Well, certainly they could have done so. However, they would not have had the power to be the effective witnesses that God wants each and every one of us to be. Surely they call themselves followers of Jesus. Surely many people throughout that part of the world knew Peter, James, John as followers of Christ and teachers of Christ's message. But Jesus says, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will not be effective witnesses for me. Now, I wonder if you've ever felt frustrated in witnessing. Dave Wilcox and I were talking before the service in another context about witnessing to people and even trying to witness to people from other denominations or other religions that come to your door to witness to you. It's frustrating, isn't it? They don't want to take time to listen to us. They politely put us off. They have other things to do. It is frustrating, extremely frustrating. How many times have you called someone in the community because you wanted to come and visit with them? As an ambassador from God's house here at Ephesus. And they kept putting you off and putting you off. Well, I'm convinced that part of our frustration in witnessing can come from not understanding the pivotal role of the Holy Spirit, the miracle within us, the role that He can play as we share our faith. One of the primary responsibilities of the Holy Spirit, of God's Spirit, is convicting people of their sin, of their need for righteousness, and of the reality of the impending judgment. Think what that means. We do not have to convict people and change their hearts with regards to salvation. Convicting people of their sins, of their need of righteousness, and of the coming judgment day is the job of the Holy Spirit. And certainly, who can do it better than God's own Spirit that He sent after Jesus ascended into heaven? We are only witnesses. We can only give testimony as to what we have experienced and what we have observed happening in others. Now, this fact doesn't mean that witnessing or our testimony is not important. Without our testimony, without our witness, the world will not know God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Unless someone witnesses, people can't hear the gospel. If they do not hear, they cannot believe. If they do not believe, they will not call upon the name of the Lord. And if they do not call upon the name of the Lord, they will not be saved. The salvation of the people hinges on our faithfulness in witnessing. Our witness is part of the good news. Of spreading of the good news. Our witness is a necessary part of that. But the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. And this witnessing on our part is of such great value to God that he says that even the feet of those who carry the good news message are beautiful. The Holy Spirit can help us to guide, help to guide people to us whom we should meet and whom we should talk regarding their salvation. The Holy Spirit can give us the opportunity to witness by word or by action. So the question is, if we claim to be Christians, is the Holy Spirit, is that miracle living within us? Are we ready to be a light in the darkness for someone by sharing our testimony with them? As the world continues to humiliate, ridicule, kind of toss aside what we do when we miss the mark, God has given us part of himself to be our advocate, to be our helper, to be our comforter, and to help us share the good news. He has given us that miracle within. That was one of the five unique features that Paul said that you, by which you could identify a Christian. The Holy Spirit dwells within Christians. In Acts 4, we are told that Peter and John were arrested and beaten because they were preaching the good news as they knew it at that time. And upon release, they were warned never to preach about this man called Jesus in public again. And so they left and went back to the church. And they and the church prayed. And as they prayed, and after they prayed, the place where they were assembled began to shake. And everyone at that location was filled with the Holy Spirit and went out and boldly proclaimed the word of God in Jesus' name. Likewise, if we permit the Holy Spirit to do so, he will not only give us boldness, but he can help provide us with creative ways to witness. And one example is the lady who volunteered for the Salvation Army and would stand on the street corners and ring the bell, not just at Christmas, but if you go to a lot of big cities where they have the kettles and the people on a daily basis soliciting on behalf of the Salvation Army. Well, a policeman came to her and told her that a local ordinance forbade the ringing of the bells to invite contributions to the Salvation Army. Well, the next day, she was on the street doing an even greater business, or receiving more contributions, if you will, than ever before. And she was waving one sign and then another in the air, and one read ding and the other read dong. She had found a creative way to continue to witness for God and to solicit contributions so that her organization could help others. Do you need to be refreshed? Are you ready to be refreshed? And if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you'll find that you will be filled with power. You will be given the courage. You will be given the boldness to speak out for God and to let others know that you are a follower of God. Empty yourselves in order to be filled and refreshed anew with the miracle within, and that is the Holy Spirit. Let us move together in the power of the Holy Spirit to be the light of the world. And if, as we said last week, if you are not a Christian, if you don't possess those characteristics we discussed, and particularly if you haven't confessed your sins and asked for salvation and felt the Holy Spirit come to dwell within, what an opportunity you have this very day, this very minute, within the next 30 seconds, because we invite you to come forward and make a public profession of your faith in Christ. To say that, yes, I've accepted Christ and I want everyone to know it. I am a sinner, but I want to live my life for Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit within so that I can be the witness He wants me to be. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 230.